Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Just a reminder, the hero, one of the heroes for the Rangers, Jacob Latz, will be on the G-Vag Nation today.
Yeah, yeah.
3:20 as part of their player show. Heck of a win last night by the Rangers. Right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring you our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. You know, every day the Rangers win a game and I find out there's somebody new playing for, or somebody I didn't know for them.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I think a lot of people have learned about the saga of whether it's Hellman or Latz.
I thought it was David Hellman.
Yes, absolutely. We made that reference as well. Hollywood David Hellman. So we were just talking about this, and I know back in the day, Parcells would say, I don't coach penalties, but game one, I thought, was particularly encouraging in terms of not an overwhelming amount of penalties for the Cowboys. Do you think they can have a sustainable season where we're not lamenting about this week after week after week?
Yeah, only four, right?
Yes.
And one of them, if I remember correctly, was on the opening kickoff, right?
Yes.
They got Leofau. Did anybody see that somebody pulled his helmet off before all that started?
Yeah, he was working the face mask of the opponent, but he was already missing his helmet by that point.
Yeah. That was when they said two penalties on that play. I remember. All right, so they'll cancel out.
One on each, right?
Yeah, but then they go both.
Both on the Cowboys.
I was like, what? I definitely like yelled that out loud. So I'm with you on that one.
I asked Leofau. I said, did you say something to the official about, did he understand why your helmet was laying on the ground? And he goes, yeah, no, I didn't say anything. And I'm going, well, I'm thinking to myself, well, you should have, because you're probably going to get fined for that.
Oh, right.
Oh, no.
Interesting. Okay, well.
I would have to appeal, I think, deal. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a rookie deal. Those fines are big, man.
But you do see the possibility, whether it's more discipline, whether it's new regime, whatever, for fewer penalties.
Sometimes, you know, I don't know if it has to do with preparation or, to me, if it's not like, oh, false starts, things like that, you know, you're. A lot of times you're committing penalties because you're getting beat.
Yes.
Right? Like, yes. Okay, this guy's going to sack Dak. I'm holding, you know, something. I'm beat. Or, you know, when you get called for pass interference, well, you know what you're doing, but you're getting beat. So you're, you know, trying to save a touchdown sometimes. So, yeah, I thought the encouraging thing is they didn't have those sloppy penalties, right? And it'd been easy, you know.
Except for the Pickens one, maybe.
That was bonehead, not sloppy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what got into him on that one. That was weird, right?
That's how Pickens do.
It was like he was roping a, you know, calf in some rodeo or something.
Or trying to open a bottle because it looked like he was trying to twist that guy's head off.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I saw the end of it live, right? And then when I went back and looked at it, and I'm going, oh, my goodness. You know, that's a different way to block.
That is a fair reaction.
Got the guy on the ground, though, gosh darn it.
That's the spirit, Mickey. That's what I'm looking for.
This morning, Mickey, Jerry was asked about why Jaden Blue and Mazi Smith weren't on the active roster. And he did not answer the question the way we wanted. He basically said it looks like next week it'll be the same thing. Do you have any more feeling on both of those guys, but Mazi in particular?
Well, I think with the addition of Kenny Clark and, you know, and the way, you know, Osa played and, you know, I guess maybe the surprising thing was is they kept active Teoa, right?
Yeah.
Instead of Mazi. But, you know, I think they we're just looking for another big body to play in the middle. And, I mean, I think you guys can answer that question, right? I mean, he didn't have the greatest of preseasons.
Yes.
And he got to play a lot. So
yes.
You know, you gotta produce. So, yeah. I just think he's got to get with it. As for Jaden Blue, you know, he only had, a week and a half coming back after the injury that he suffered. So I don't know that, you know, maybe they were worried about the physicality of it. Or, you know, you needed somebody else at another position than to keep three running. And I'm not counting Lipke because he's just kind of the gadget guy, fullback, special teams, all that stuff. But to keep three running backs, and if he's not going to be a return guy, then what's that third running back going to do? If you don't have him in the top two. So I think as you go along, you're going to eventually see him on the, they need his speed on the field,
yeah.
In my opinion. So
yeah.
We'll see where that one goes.
Who's the fastest running back you've ever seen, like, on the Cowboys field? Is it
Tony Dorsett?
He was. That was my dad.
No one appreciated his speed. I got reminded of, it was a couple years ago, I was watching, somebody had like a reel of highlights of his, and it just kind of reminded me how he got to from, you know, 0 to 60 miles an hour in the snap of a finger. I don't know if it was his all-out speed or the fact that, boy, he just got going so fast. If you ever get a chance, go back and look at some of his runs. And it's somewhat startling, and it's sort of, Blue, you know, I'm not comparing him, but his speed right from the start is amazing. I know, you can say, okay, he runs a 4.28 or whatever
yes.
It was, but he gets going so fast, so soon. I think it surprises defenders.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
Browns
why fans. It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And it kind of reminded me of Dorsett's speed, because once he took off, boy, he was gone. He was like shot out of a cannon.
I'm going to submit that to social media with the headline, Dallas Cowboys insider compares Jaden Blue to Tony Dorsett.
I appreciate
is that okay?
Which, by
you?
The way, this is kind of interesting. So we were talking to Javonte Williams yesterday, and somebody brought up his valedictorian thing or whatever, and in high school. And somebody said, well, what was your favorite subject? And he said, history. And it's like, well, what kind of history? He says, well, I had an uncle that fought in World War II, and I, you know, like to collect stuff or, you know, look into the different things. So when I think everybody had walked away, and I said, so history, huh? I said, do you know the history behind number 33? And his eyes lit up, and he goes, yeah, I absolutely do. He goes, how old do you think he is now? And I said, well, he was drafted in 77, so that's, you know, 48 years. And say he was 20-something coming out of college, you know, I said, well, he's probably close to 70 right now. He goes, really? Yeah. He goes, yeah, I knew all about that. And I said, well, good for you, because most guys would have gone, yeah, I don't know, 33. I just got the number, you know? So it was pretty interesting.
He's just some guy that played here, I guess.
Yeah, that would be disappointing. So I'm glad that you checked on that.
We quizzed him. Yeah. Actually,
it came up
on our podcast, and somebody said, "Well, I wonder if he knows what 33 is all about." And it's like, "Well, we'll find out." So, since history came up, I said, "Okay, I'm asking."
Well, we'll find out might be the answer to this question as well, because it's just been one game. But based on what you saw in camp, as well. What do you think about the prospects of Javonte Williams being the season-long lead back?
Yeah, I think absolutely so. I think you saw not only his quickness, but he'll run with some physicality too.
He moved a couple
that
of
one.
Those
he
piles.
Pushed the pile yeah. right quite a ways.
Yeah.
It's not like, he's some scat back or anything like that. He's a running back. And, I know both touchdowns were 1 yard runs, but he's got two. Do you know how many rushing touchdowns the Cowboys had last year?
Six.
Over 17 games.
It's going to be a depressing number, by the way, you're setting this up. How many?
Six.
That is super six. Depressing.
And guess what? Three of them were Zeke's.
Oh.
A 3 yard run,
see?
A
why
1 yard did, run, and a 1 yard run.
Do you kind of feel like we should have kept Zeke now?
No.
I'm just kidding.
I mean, that's all they had rushing touchdowns was six.
It was brutal.
There's some teams that probably had three or four in the first game this week.
Yeah. If you can go up against the Baltimore defense, maybe you could get six in one game.
When I thought about it and I said, well, let me go look and see how many they had last year. And it was six.
Perrion Winfrey, somebody we talked a lot about throughout training camp.
Yeah.
He goes on the injured reserve with a back issue. Like, you never want any of your players to get hurt. This feels like a tough break in particular for him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it's something that'll clear up at some point. Because remember, you can go on IR, and I believe you have the right to recall eight guys off of IR as long as they spend 4 weeks. I don't know that it's got to be season ending, but if it is, that's unfortunate. You know, that was one of the things I think that haunted him a little bit, staying healthy, even in college. So, yeah, we'll see where that one goes. And, I saw somebody remark something about, now they can rely on Mozzie. I'm going, neither one of them were active in the game on Sunday. So he's got to have to hurdle somebody else to be able to get active, or they will have feel the need to have more defensive tackles than what they went into the game with.
The other thing, I don't know if you've talked to him about it or anything, is Jake Ferguson okay? Like, that hit that he took was just a monster hit.
I was surprised he came back and played.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously we would have loved him to catch the ball. But that hit was that was tough.
Yeah, no, and it was head on, and and I can't remember if the guy got up and was like, what did I do? And I'm going, what did you do? Seriously? I think he got through it.
Okay.
Now we'll find out. I'm trying to remember if he was out there. I think he was out there yesterday because I didn't see anybody, of significance missing. So, yeah, I think he kind of survived it somehow because that was pretty tough. And you can see, his value on some of those routes down the seam. Mm-hmm. And that seam route's going to be really important for those tight ends to be able to catch the ball. Now, Dak was a little short on, I think, one of them at least. He needed to get it over the defender's head and he came up a little short and it got broken up, but a little bit better pass and a little more loft. That would have been a big, big play in the game.
Thank you very much, good sir. We will catch up with you again tomorrow.
All right. I'll keep looking for guys I don't know on the Rangers roster.
Oh, they'll appear.
They'll do
trust
it. Yeah,
me.
They'll figure out how to
thank you
happen.
Very much.
See you.
There you go. Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com. If we can go ahead and play cut number 11, I was bummed that we didn't get to talk about this at all yesterday. I understand why, but there was another epic tennis showdown on Sunday.
In a sensationally bold and brawny performance, Carlos Alcaraz takes the 2025 U.S. Open.
Yeah, I know it's going to be hard to convince you.
That was amazing.
But McEnroe, Borg, Sampras, Agassi, Federer, Nadal. Could we get Sinner and Alcaraz into that category. These two are unquestionably the best two players in the world. I know I'm setting myself up for failure with this question, but Corey and Alec, is there any chance that you took any time out of your football watching schedule on Sunday to watch the U.S. Open final?
I don't know if there's ever been a pairing, Kevin, quite like Williams Poole. Those two, they spent 7 days in hell. And that one, like, that was the one that really,
I
couldn't believe it.
Are those the fictitious people?
I don't know what you're talking about. It looked like a documentary to me.
Andy Samberg.
It was shot as a documentary, so I believed it as a documentary, Kevin.
That's actually based on a real match that happened, I believe it was at Wimbledon.
Indubitably, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
That is correct. So.
All right, Alec, safe to say you also were probably not super locked in on the U.S. Open men's final.
No, I was kind of watching the highlights of it as they popped up on social media because I was intrigued for the final, but I couldn't take my eyes off the beautiful thing that is the National Football League.
I get it.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.